वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे हरे कृष्णा सो वेलकम एवरीवन टू द सेकंड डे ऑफ द सेमिनार कैन वी टर्न द माइक डाउन जस्ट अ लिटिल बिट इट्स has a little bit of an echo. So welcome. Thank you. That's perfect. So, to the second day of this seminar. And last time, yesterday, we gave an overview of Bhagavad Gita and set the stage for discussing the four essential verses that we're going to talk about today. And these four essential verses, chapter 10, text numbers 8, 9, 10 and 11. Right? So we just read those verses briefly last time, but the whole idea was to see how the Bhagavad Gita builds up to these verses. What are the different changes and shifts in conversation that take place so that Arjuna is now ready to hear these four important verses. Right? And the step just before this was that Krishna had begun chapter 10 by saying, now you should hear my supreme instructions. Shrinu me paramam vacha, he says. My supreme instruction. Something that he repeats, he says again, only at the end of Bhagavad Gita. He says, listen to my supreme instruction. So we can, you know, the end of the Bhagavad Gita, obviously Krishna is repeating the most important things. But the first time he says those are here in chapter 10, text number 8 through 11. So we can sort of see they're quite important verses. Now, the plan is that we're going to start off with the first verse now, text number 8, perhaps moving into 9, for the session from 2 to 4. And then for the later session, we'll do a little bit more, but the primary task will be a workshop-type activity, which I'll delineate later, where we'll get a chance to sort of try our own hand at understanding the essence of Bhagavad Gita and coming up with some things ourselves. So hopefully it should be interesting, educational, and also a bit fun. So let's read text number 8 again. Okay. And if you don't have Bhagavad Gita, that's okay. For this session, you don't need it. But if you know the verse, you can repeat after me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam, buddha bhava samanvita. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So let's read this again responsively so we can think about each part of this verse here. So please repeat. I am the source, of all spiritual and material worlds.
Everything emanates from me.
The wise who perfectly know this,
engage in my devotional service,
and worship me with all their hearts. Purport. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, it is said,
Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedang Shagapayanti Sma Krishna.
It was Krishna in the beginning who instructed Brahma and Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad says, Atha Purusho Havai Narayano Kamayata Prajasrijayeti.
Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, desired to create living entities.
The Upanishad continues, Narayanat Brahma Jayate, Narayanat Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanat Indro Jayate, Narayanat Ashto Vasavo Jayante, Narayanat Ekadasharudra Jayante, Narayanat Dvadashadityah.
From Narayana, Brahma is born, and from Narayana, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana, Indra is born. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna.
So, Krishna begins these essential teachings with a very clear statement about himself. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate.
I am the origin of everything. Prabhava means the source.
Matta sarvam pravartate. And everything turns, it comes out, it churns out from me. Pravartate. Which is basically a repetition. Krishna is saying the same thing in 2 different ways in this first verse. I am the source of everything and everything comes from me. Which is 2 ways of saying the same thing. So Krishna is being very emphatic here. In a classroom situation, if a teacher repeats something more than once, then students usually know, okay, this is something worth taking note of. It's probably important. And so Krishna is repeating himself in this verse in slightly different language. He says, I'm the source of everything, and everything comes from me. He starts off with this very self-centered statement. Self-centered. Krishna is talking about himself. Now, typically, being self-centered is considered a bad quality in this world, considered a negative thing. If someone's self-centered or narcissistic or they're full of themselves, we say, and that's not considered a good thing. It's considered to be selfish. Your world is small, you're arrogant, you're proud. But we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in every chapter, right from the beginning, he's repeatedly talking about himself. And as the Gita progresses, the volume, the intensity with which Krishna is talking about himself gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Like that verse at the end of the 9th chapter. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. This one is at the end of the 18th chapter. But there, think of that verse. Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage unto me. All these things. How many times in that one verse, Krishna repeats the word me? Right? Man mana. Man means me. Bhava mad bhakto. Become my devotee. Madhyaji. Worship me. Mam namaskuru. Offer obeisance to me. Mam evaishyasi. You'll come to me. Satyam te. In truth. Pratijane priyosi me, because you are very dear to me. 6 times in the same sentence, Krishna said, me, 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 me. And normally we think, oh, that's terrible. Right? If all he talks about is me. You go to someone's house for dinner. Right? We went to lunch to Madan Gopal Prabhu's place. So if at the dining table all Madan Gopal Prabhu did was talk about me, 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 and I'm like this and I'm like that, then you sit there going, wow, gosh, well, talk about something else, right? But fortunately, no. He's a very nice person, humble devotee. Whole time he was saying, oh, so how are you doing, Prabhu? How's your family? How's... So he's being generous like this, asking about his guest. But Krishna here, he's in front of Arjuna, he's talking about me, me. In every chapter he says, me. Think about me, worship me, my devotee. And when Krishna does it, it actually sounds very nice, right? The whole world reads it and goes, oh, how beautiful this is. How wonderful the Lord is. Because factually, this pronoun, I,
or me, the first person pronoun, truly should only apply to Krishna. Right? Krishna is the only proper object, proper recipient of the first person pronoun, I. The pronoun in Sanskrit is aham. Aham means I. The object form of that is mam, which means me. It's the same thing, I or me. And this aham, when we use the word aham to apply to us, then that's a demonstration of what? Of ahamkara. Ahamkara. Ahamkara means what?
False ego.
False ego, right? Making of me. Right? Kara means to make. Constructing my own identity. Putting myself at the center. Ahamkara. Right? The sound of me, of I. I'm at the center. Ahamkara. But Krishna is the only one who can truly use this word aham. We are the second person pronoun. We're the third person pronoun. Really, we should only use the word you and he and she. The pronoun I is reserved for Krishna. He's the original I. The first verse of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the four essential verses of Bhagavatam, it begins, Krishna speaking these verses to Brahma. He's summarizing the entire philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, just like he's doing here for Arjuna. And there also, at the beginning of Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna begins with the word aham. Here he's beginning with aham, there he begins aham evasam evate. He's saying, O Brahma, in the beginning, before you were there, before this whole creation was there, in the beginning there was only I. He says, aham eva, only me, I. And Prabhupada has a beautiful purport there. He explains that this I, this aham, it actually only belongs to Krishna. Because he's the subject. I means the subject. And everyone else in this world is the object. We're all predicated on Krishna. If you know grammar, it says you have the subject and the object, or the subject and the predicate. Krishna is the subject. And everyone else is meant to be simply an adjective on Krishna. That's what we are. Ramanujacharya, he explains this. He says the relationship between us, between Krishna and us, is a relationship between the noun and an adjective. Krishna is the Purusha, and we simply decorate him in various ways. That's all. Krishna shows us his expertise, his beauty, his multiple personalities, through all his creation. We can look at the flowers and say, oh, Krishna is so beautiful, the way the flowers bloom. We can look at the ocean and say, Krishna is so vast, like the power of the ocean.